Welcome to the Awakening Podcast Network. Get ready for an inspiring audio from this cutting-edge voice. You can find more podcasts at awakeningpodcasts.com.
A reset of the prophetic movement is upon us. The second wave of prophets is rising in this hour. We stand at the edge of a new era in the prophetic. We're gathering the international prophetic community at the Global Prophetic Center, a hub for prophetic training, prophetic labs, summits, networks, and lighthouses. It's time for prophets to go deeper. It's time for seers to soar. It's time for prophetic voices to rise up and decree what says the Spirit of God with accuracy that causes the world to pay attention. The Global Prophetic Center offers proven prophetic systems and structures to equip you to walk worthy of your calling and to prophesy with precision, boldness, diplomacy, and wisdom. Get hands-on training and mentoring in a safe environment that breeds true prophetic community and learning. Receive impartation and activation. Sharpen your gift and avoid prophetic pitfalls. Get commissioned. Get networked. Get sent out with the word of the Lord in your mouth and the confidence to release it. Begin your journey today by applying at globalpropheticcenter.com. Jennifer LeClaire here. You can see in the spirit. I want to invite you to take the Seer Activation Challenge, 30 days to clearer spiritual sight. I'm going to be on board doing Seer Activations with you, guiding you through biblical entryways and much, much more. You can opt to take the Seer Activation Challenge at tinyurl.com/seeractivation. tinyurl.com/seeractivation. You can also opt to get these three books, Seer Dimensions. You can get Power Seers. This just came out. Keys to Upgrading Your Prophetic Vision. And you can get Seer Activations with 101 Seer Activations and a whole lot more teaching. I want to challenge you to see what you've never seen before. God wants you to be able to see in the Spirit. Open your eyes to the Seer Dimensions in Jesus' name.
Today's subject is one that I love probably more than anything in the whole Bible. And it's the subject of the glory of God, and where the glory takes you and who the glory actually is so awesome. And with me today, I have a special guest, Michael Lombardo. It's so awesome to have you with us today. You're this radical evangelist, revivalist, a glory junkie, a Jesus lover.
That's right. It's just awesome.
And you and your wife have been serving the Lord on the mission field and going all around the world to share with people how good God is. But I want you to share, first of all, Michael, if you could, your background, because here you are, this radical, passionate man for Christ right now, but you weren't always like that, okay? So why don't you share some of your testimony with us?
Absolutely. So I grew up around believers. I grew up in the Catholic Church. So, you know, I heard about God. My mom was spirit-filled, loved the Lord, you know. As young as I could remember, she was speaking in tongues, telling us about Jesus. You know, we went to charismatic Catholic services where the presence of the Lord is pouring out and there was gifts of the Spirit that were manifesting. And so I kind of grew up around that. My dad was more religious, you know, than actually having a relationship with the Lord. Right. But he got dramatically saved when I was 14 years old. And I thought, who are you and what did you do with my dad? Like, you guys, there's Christians and then there's you guys. Like, you take it to a whole nother level. But the world had its claws in me. You know, the world was more appealing than what I saw, you know, in kind of the religious systems I was introduced to. I had no clue the goodness of God. I had no clue that he was tangible, that he was full of joy, that there's beauty in his presence, that he's that real. He longs to reveal himself to us. So, you know, I always got involved in drugs, you know, perversion, you know, what I was seeking pleasure in all the wrong places. Right. I was a hedonist. I was a pleasure seeker. And so, you know, sin is fun for a period of time, but the wages of sin is death, and the gift of of God, eternal life through Christ. So I just began, just depression came in. My parents were praying for me, believing God for me, speaking the word over me. But depression came in like a flood. I wasn't satisfied anymore. I wasn't happy anymore.
Nothing can really satisfy you.
Exactly.
You were telling me over lunch that that you actually used to tell people in the youth group to go because the world was better.
Yeah, I was that guy who was forced to go to youth group, and I was evangelizing to the youth, saying that, you know, the world's better.
You were evangelizing on behalf of the devil.
That's right. I was an evangelist for the enemy. That's right.
Oh my
God! God is so merciful. He's so gracious. He was pursuing me. I got in two car accidents.
Oh wow!
The cars were crushed. And I got out with just scratches on my arm, just the prayers of my parents, you know, the angels guarding me and protecting me. And so my heart, like the Holy Spirit, was pursuing, and I tried everything to make myself happy, and I was still empty and broken. So I got in my room with a dusty Bible that my sister bought me in hopes that one day I'd read it. And I opened it up and I got real with God. And I can't tell you exactly what I said, but my heart's cry was, I need you.
Yeah.
Change me. Have your way in my life, whatever you need to do. I thought I was alone in the room, but I wasn't. For the first time, I experienced the manifest
wow.
glory of God. It was His love being poured into my heart. All the fear, the shame, the guilt mm-hmm. was removed. It dissipated in the light of His glory and His grace.
Yeah.
And I heard Him speak for the first time, the inner voice of the Spirit.
What did He say?
He said, son, son, me, son. I was an enemy of God. I was yeah. a God hater. I wanted nothing to do with Him, but He called me son.
Wow.
And then He said, I have plans for your life. And I was so aimless. I had no purpose. I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. And He said, I have a plan for your life. And it was that moment that I experienced the glory that I was always destined for. We're destined for the glory of God.
Wow.
His glory is our inheritance as believers. And anything less is a ripoff. And I just fell in love with Jesus head over heels. I just wanted to tell everyone about Him from that moment on.
It happened to me too. Almost in exactly the same way, because I didn't know what the glory was. Yeah. I mean, I was involved in all kinds of spiritual things, but I didn't know what the glory was. And when He came into my life, the night that He came into my life, I actually felt Him like liquid love too. I was filled with love, and the same thing, like no condemnation, just this love that I knew I didn't deserve. And then right away, I cried all night. I got saved around midnight, cried all night, got up in the morning and started going to my neighbors, knocking on doors saying, hey, Jesus forgave me all my sin last night. He can forgive yours too, right?
That's right.
So it's just when you're touched by the glory, and that liquid love, that's glory. That's God. Glory is the fullness of all God is and all that He has. You know, it's different types of glory. You know, there can be the glory of His presence, the glory of healing, the glory of His deliverance, the glory of His provision. I mean, there's glory, glory, glory. Yeah. And everything in the temple cries, glory! I love this subject. We're to arise and shine because this light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. And you wrote this book, Immersed in His Glory. And I was just telling you earlier, I love this color. I think it's so neat because you've got the glory invading the darkness.
That's
and
right.
I love that because that's what happened with you.
Exactly.
That's what happened with me. That's what can happen to you if you don't know Jesus yet, because He loves you with the same love that we're talking about. He loves you no matter what you've been through. Maybe you're a backslidden Christian right now. Maybe you've made a whole pile of mistakes. Well, just humble yourself and cry out to Him because He loves you more than anyone else. And He will walk you through whatever you're going through right now if you just let Him, let that glory touch you. So tell us, Michael, how the glory transformed your life.
Well, there were so many amazing things that happened. Like from that moment on, drug addiction fell off of me.
Well, any withdrawals or anything?
No, without any withdrawals. And I was taking hard drugs. It wasn't just weed and drinking. It was hard drugs. And I tasted of the true pleasure of heaven. Psalm 16:11, in His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand, pleasure forevermore. So many people think that God's this cosmic, you know, joy kill. You know, He's not fun. He's boring. I've never enjoyed my life more. I've never enjoyed my life more. It's a wild adventure, but I took ecstasy, and it actually puts golf ball size holes in your brain if you take it enough.
Wow.
And as I began to seek the Lord, He was transforming me in His presence. And there was a specific time, I was probably saved only a few weeks, and I was spending time in the Word and I was worshiping, and I began to feel tingles in my brain, and I knew it was Him.
Wow.
Him. And I just said, Papa, I receive. I receive. And at that time, I had a stutter. I was, because drugs really affected my brain, my ability to think and even speak coherently. And in that moment, I knew he was healing me. And I walked out of that room so healed, so free. And it's happened to me multiple times since then, where I'll just say, Daddy, I receive it. I'll be in a meeting or in his presence or, you know, in the word, and he'll just begin healing my brain. So he began, is this healing journey? Because when you get into his glory, everything you need is there. Healing, freedom, joy, you know, destiny, you know, words from heaven, you know, direction, whatever it may be, we receive it in his presence, in his glory. And there was a specific encounter that I had, because before I got saved, I was going from relationship to relationship. And I got this girl pregnant, and it was a really toxic relationship. And I was still hanging on to baggage, you know, from that experience. So God was with me, but I didn't like church still. Right. I still didn't like church. And my sister called me up and she said, come to church. And I said, you know what? Maybe I'll go. So I went to church and I said, God, just speak to me in church. Just take one piece of baggage off of my back. And nothing happened in the church service. Nothing. And I thought, well, thanks, God. You know, just I wanted a word. I wanted something. So I went to the bathroom and the pastor's doing the altar call. And in the speakers, it's a mega church. So in the speakers, I heard him say, somebody here had an abortion and God wants to heal you right now. And I ran out of that bathroom. I tried to open the double doors, but there was like 16 doors. And I didn't know all of them were locked except the middle doors.
Because
I was on church. I couldn't get in. So I ran to the bathroom stall and God will meet you in the most unusual places. And I just opened up my heart to him and I felt his love pour into me. It was literally forgiveness. No condemnation, a father's embrace.
Wow.
And I left that bathroom completely shame free.
Wow.
And even that was a journey. I had several encounters with the Lord after that where he just kept pouring healing into me. Like months later, I was in church and it was Father's Day and the pastor said, Father, stand up. And I didn't stand up. You know, I'm not a dad. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, son, happy Father's Day.
Oh, wow.
And I just began to weep. Just the healing of the Lord that not only am I forgiven, but I have a child in heaven that I'm going to be reunited with. No animosity, no hatred, just love and even being reunited with my baby. Yeah. And I'll share this encounter. It was a couple years later and I was in Mozambique with Heidi Baker's ministry. Mm-hmm. And the Lord was teaching me Ephesians chapter 2, where it says we're seated with him now in the heavenly realms.
Exactly.
His throne room
it's
is
now.
Our home. Not just one day, but here and now.
That's right.
So I began tapping into that and having heavenly encounters. And I was just worshiping, soaking. And I'm in heaven, but I'm on earth, right? But I'm in heaven in this encounter. And Jesus walks up to me with a baby. And he hands me a baby. And he says, this is your baby.
Wow.
He's a son. And his name's Stephen.
Wow.
And I was totally undone and transformed.
Whoa.
But that's the goodness of our God.
Come
and I even feel this for those who are watching.
Yeah.
I share this story all the time because so many believers are suffering with shame. And I feel like you're watching this and you think, I'm unforgivable. How could God forgive me for what I did? Like that was murder. Abortion is murder. And the Lord lovingly forgave me. I just let the Lord touch you right now where you are. Just say, Abba, I receive your healing. Abba, I receive your love and your forgiveness. And he'll do it just like he did it for me.
Oh, it's so beautiful. So beautiful. I actually sense that there's someone watching right now. And you're a woman, actually a young woman. You're 22 years of age. And you had an abortion when you were 18. Mm-hmm. And you've been depressed ever since. You feel so ashamed and so conflicted in your heart. And this message is really ministering to you. I believe your name is Sarah. And it's interesting because Sarah in the Bible was a mother of Abraham's lineage, right? And God's saying that he will restore the years that the locust took, but he's removing from you right now all condemnation, all guilt, all shame. And he says, you are forgiven. He forgives you. Your baby forgives you. Everything is forgiven and you have treasure in heaven. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back. And again, immersed in his glory. You will want to get this book for sure. You can go to Michael's website that is on the screen, or you can go to Amazon and a number of other places to get this awesome book about how you can access the glory by faith. And that's a message for you. You're going to be immersed in his glory. And we want to talk about how the glory can be accessed. The glory of God has believers' names all over it because Jesus said in John 17, the glory that the Father has given me, I give to you. So therefore, believers have that glory. But this book is a lot about how to access the glory by faith and how to hunger after God and to cultivate that hunger and his presence. So why don't you share a little bit with us about the insights you've learned about accessing the glory?
Absolutely. In 2 Thessalonians 2:14, the Apostle Paul said, "For this purpose, he has called us to the gospel, that we may gain the glory of Jesus Christ." He gets all the credit, but the glory is ours. His presence, who he is, is ours.
Isn't that beautiful?
He's in us and we're in him at the right hand of the Father. But for me, I love the Lord. You know, when you get saved, there's a Holy Spirit heart surgery that takes place. Exactly. And now my new heart in Christ loves righteousness and hates wickedness. So I began to pursue him. And, you know, you'd be nuts not to want more. Once you taste of heaven, all you want is more.
Exactly.
Right. And so we say, you got to get hungry. But how do you get hungry for God? You got to take a taste. You got to taste it.
Taste and see that the Lord is good.
That's
and when
right.
you do, you become an addict.
That's right.
It's immediate addiction.
It's an immediate addiction.
People, but it's a holy kind of addiction.
Yeah. It's the best addiction you can have. Yeah. We're born for that.
Yeah.
And it's a funny thing, but I say, yo, I love Chick-fil-A. And the reason why I crave it is because I've tasted and seen that it is good. Okay. So, but anyway, so we hunger for him because he's just so good.
Yeah.
But so I began to pursue him, and I'd read books by amazing men and women of God, but there was issues in my heart and in my life, because I knew he loved me because my parents loved me, even in my rebellion and sin.
Right.
But I didn't believe he liked me. I didn't believe he took pleasure in my life. We all need a revelation of the smile of God.
Yeah.
That he's our daddy that smiles over us. And so I began to pursue him, but I was like a roller coaster, constantly struggling with self-condemnation. And I call it self-condemnation because he doesn't give it to us. We give it to ourselves.
Come on.
And so the Lord told me one time, he said, take the boxing gloves off. The more you beat yourself up, the weaker you become. The weaker you are, the more susceptible you are to go to other things for pleasure and delight. And so he began to take me through this journey of realizing who I am through the Word. And literally, I would seek him, and I felt like I was just undeserving. I didn't read my Bible like I should have that day.
Sure.
Or I didn't tell somebody about Jesus at Walmart because
That's
of fear.
That's religion, isn't it?
Just a whole bunch of religion. Yeah. You have to do this and do that to gain
it's
God's approval.
It's all about us. When it's religion, it's all about us.
Amen. So that was my struggle. And he was getting my eyes off of me and putting my eyes onto him and his finished work and what he accomplished
beautiful.
For me. And so I felt like I deserved it the least, but he kept saying things to me like, I'm pleased with you. I love you. You're mine. I'm not far. I'm right here. And he would speak these words at moments where I felt like, God, I don't deserve any of this. I saw a vision of his face and he was smiling at me as I was reading through Song of Songs, and revelation was pouring into my heart. And I was realizing, like Ephesians 3:12 says, that we have confident and bold access to him through faith, through faith. And so all these scriptures were coming alive to me that we have fullness in Christ and grace upon grace. And I began this revelation of no lack. And it really, instead of being up and down like a roller coaster, I began to just experience him. You know, I thought I had to wake up and read 2 hours and get in prayer for 2 hours and or else God wouldn't show up in my day. And I believe in reading the Bible. I believe in getting alone with the Lord. But I do it in faith now, not in striving and performance.
Exactly. And you do it because you love it, not because you have to.
Exactly.
We serve God because we love serving him, not because we have to. Because if we never served him, if I never read my Bible, if I never prayed, God would love me just the same as he does now.
Oh,
I don't have to do anything to get his love.
Yeah.
But oh, what pleasure it brings him when he sees me pleasuring in the things that he adores and loves. And, you know, his love is so amazing. And I remember on the mission field going through something very similar to what you just explained and feeling so condemned. I wasn't doing enough, wasn't being enough, wasn't fasting enough, praying enough, saving enough people and stuff like that. And I lost all my joy. And someone came down to visit our base. They had so much joy.
Yeah.
And I said, wow, I remember having that joy. And I thought, I wonder what changed. And I said, you know, I love serving the Lord. I want to serve him with all my heart, but blah, blah, blah. And she says, well, I don't serve him because I have to. I serve him because I want to. And it opens something up. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. You don't read your Bible because you have to.
Yeah.
It's the love to. And if you don't want to, God will still love you.
That's
It's not like you're a second rate Christian because you haven't found the love for the Word yet. You know?
It's just, so good. Yeah, I do what I do because his love is with me. I don't follow him from a distance. He is Christ in me, and he is God with me, Emmanuel.
Yes.
I wouldn't want to do the things that I'm doing if it wasn't for his presence and his love in my life. And I began to realize that. I'm getting revelation from the word that he is the one that broke down every barrier that separated me from my father.
Yes.
He tore the veil from top to bottom. We were trying to climb our way up to him, this ethereal spiritual ladder. We're trying to come to him, but we couldn't go to him no matter how much we did, no matter how much we tried. So he came down to us. Yeah. He brought the glory to us. And now I have free, unhindered access.
Woo-hoo!
The same access that Jesus has with the Father, I have.
Yes,
not because of my own good works, but because of his work for me.
Yeah, and that is the truth.
Yeah.
That is the word of God, and we experience the glory and experience God from the basis of the word. It's from the foundation of the word. This isn't just like, oh, I think I'll go do this and that and the other. Mm-hmm. No. This is the word gives us the foundation for accessing the glory, but our faith connects us to that glory.
Mm-hmm.
The faith connects us to that truth. So it's not about what you feel or what the glory manifests like. It's not about that, because sometimes people get confused about that. They think, well, I think it should be this way or that way. No, just lay all that aside and just pursue God.
Yeah.
Because as you pursue him and his glory by faith, it'll look different maybe every single time. Sometimes for me, accessing the glory is a pure faith experience, not a feeling, no vision, no audible voices from heaven, no nothing, just believing.
That's right.
That the glory is here right now.
Someone asked me one time, they said, how do I get into God's presence? And I never had got that question before. This is maybe like 7, 8 years ago. I said, how do I get into God's presence? And I thought about it. I said, I get into his presence by believing I'm already there.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm already there, whether I feel it or not.
Acknowledging it, isn't it?
Amen. Just acknowledging.
Acknowledging the
faith
truth.
Awareness of the truth. Faith comes faith comes before the feelings and before the manifestation. So whether I'm feeling something or not, whether I'm experiencing a vision or a manifestation, I believe the truth. The truth is the truth. And when my faith is anchored in that, it unleashes a life of miracles and glory and breakthrough. I began to see more miracles in my life when I got this revelation of fullness.
Yeah.
It didn't produce complacency. It put more fire in my
heart.
We saw a woman raised from the dead in Thailand. A woman paralyzed 13 years, walk for the first time, still whole to this day. A leper cleansed in the Philippines. Thousands come to know Jesus Christ, not because we're striving or because we pumped it up and it's because we focus on him. Everything he did and the anointing is released from
it's
that
place.
It's
all about him. He is the center of it all.
God,
He's so amazing. He fills it all. And, you know, as you fall in love with him afresh and just behold him in his glory, and that's beholding by faith, just worshiping by faith. Okay, quickly, give me 3 keys that have helped you access the glory.
Wow. Okay, so hunger is really important. Hunger is extremely important. Everything starts with hunger.
Yep.
You know, you see something in the word, you see something in someone's life, a minister, and you say, if they could have it, I could have it too. If it's in the word, it's mine. So everything starts with hunger, but it must be eventually translated into faith.
Right.
This is available and it's mine, and I take it. But I feel like in the modern day church, we're so many distractions, our phones, things that aren't necessarily evil. It's not wrong. Our phones, Netflix, Hulu, everything. And these things aren't evil in and of themselves, but they absorb us.
You know what I'm thinking of right now, Michael? I was watching the news last night with my husband. I'm sitting there watching the news and all of a sudden I got hungry for some dessert. So I'm looking at the show and I think, oh, I'm really hungry for some ice cream. And then I was trying to keep myself focused on the TV the hunger went out. But you know what I had to do? I had to shift my position to fulfill that hunger. I had to go to the fridge and fulfill the hunger.
That's right.
And I think sometimes as believers we can say, I'm so hungry, which is, I agree with you, I think it's one of the most important elements of seeking God, is to be hungry for him. He says, blessed are the hungry. Those who hunger for righteousness, they shall be filled, right? So it's like, it is so good to identify that hunger, but the hunger will actually compel you to go, which is your faith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when you taste and see that that ice cream is good or that the Lord is good, then it's so satisfying and fulfilling, but also puts a demand on your spirit for more of him, right?
You hunger for what you feed on.
Yeah.
Keep feasting on the word. Keep worshiping, feasting on his presence. And hunger's a gift. It's not something you can strive for or manufacture in yourself. It's a gift. When you taste him, your hunger begins to grow. If you're constantly feeding on, you know, things that are innocent but not evil, but if you're constantly feasting on those things, that's what you'll hunger for when you're bored or when you're doing nothing or when you have time on your hands. So I think hunger is a huge key. You know, as well as speaking the love of God and speaking the word of God over yourself. The word is living and powerful and sharper than a double-edged sword. So when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I say is, Jesus, I'm a beloved son in whom he is well pleased. He became my sins so that I'm the righteousness of God in him. You know, I am in his presence. I speak the word over myself, and faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So as I speak the word over my own heart, faith grows and faith is our access. So it actually ushers me into, you know, an encounter with him or my spirit is being built up or strengthened, some kind of encounter
so
that I
beautiful.
Need. So I go into detail, even in the last chapter of my book, all these different things we can do to access the glory that's ours.
Beautiful.
We're not, you know, trying to strive for something we don't have. There's fullness, but there's tools that we could tap into this glory that's
Michael,
ours.
Can I ask you to look into your camera and pray for our audience today to have a fresh awakening in the glory?
Yeah, absolutely. Ephesians 5:14 says, awake, awake, O sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. We need an awakening to his glory. And his glory is in your midst. He's in you and he's all around you. And I just pray right now for the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to just overwhelm your heart. I strongly sense that wisdom, revelation, opening, illuminating the eyes of your heart that you would see in the spirit. You're not trying to get into the spirit. You are in the spirit and you begin to walk in it through faith. So I just pray that faith would grow in your heart right now in Jesus' name. I rebuke doubt, lies that thing. I pray the word of God would just so penetrate your heart. The truth of your identity, the truth of your access, the truth of what Christ accomplished for you would be your greatest reality, what you believe and what you focus on.
Today's program was a powerful invitation from the Lord for you to engage in his glory. And I'm praying for you that you will explode in glorious encounters with Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to go to patriciakinginstitute.com and take a look at the Glory School. It's an awesome course. Came through a 30-day visitation of the Spirit a number of years ago, and I think it's got a lot in it. And also, look again at Immersed in His Glory, because God has His hand on you and wants you to learn how to enjoy all the different dimensions of His glory. Above all else, remember this, that God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. We'll see you next time.
You have gifts. God expects you to use them. If you need training to school your gift, log on to schoolofthespirit.tv. You'll find training in spiritual warfare, prophetic ministry, prayer, seer's ministry, writing, and so much more. Go to schoolofthespirit.tv today. You want to go deeper? Get equipped to overcome and walk in God's purpose for your life at Awakening House of Prayer's online campus. You'll experience an online family, preaching, teaching, and prophetic impartation for victorious living. We have over 1,000 members online, hungry for what God is saying and doing in the earth. Visit ahop.online today and join our family.
This has been a production of the Awakening Podcast Network. Jennifer LeClaire is the founder and owner of APN. Our heart is to inspire people and exalt Jesus with every broadcast. We're grateful for our advertisers and supporters that make these podcasts possible.